I am going to, I had another announcement. We have, a long time ago, I wanted to make it available on our website to be able to give through the website, you know, electronically. I didn't like the options that are available, talked with our bank, didn't like what they had available, et cetera. Anyhow, our accountant changed systems, and he's excited about the new system that does, he does all of our, we have an outsourced accountant who does all of the books for our church, and he ended up changing his whole system over to a new software. One of the modules of his software was an online giving thing, and he showed it to me, and I really liked it. So if you would pull, yeah, we have our website. So it is now available to us. So if you would like to give this way, it's just another way to be able to give. Here's our website. So you would just go to the homepage of agathos.org, and you'll notice we've added a link up there between photos and about us where it says donate. Can you guys read that?
Yeah.
I know it's kind of small. Okay, good. You click on that, and it brings up a page. And here you put in just your basic information, name, et cetera. And then you can put the amount, 50, 100, or 250, or a specific amount you want to put in there, right there. If you put that amount in, then it's real self-explanatory. You can see it all. You may say, well, how, that's really good. Got the right idea going there. Thank you, Jay. And that would be recurring, right? All right. So after you put in the dollar amount, you would click on donate now. Go ahead and click on that for recurring for $10 million. That's really good. And once you click on that, then it's going to give the option of how you want to do it. And you can do it by a credit card, or you can do it right out of your bank account. I tested it. I tithe 2 weeks ago using this right out of my checking account, which I usually do by writing a check. And then, because I wanted to make sure it was flawless and working perfectly. And go ahead and click on the donate now. Don't worry, it won't actually happen because you haven't given them any information. So you click on that. Oh, yeah, it's going to make you fill in those fields for us, so forget about that. If you click on that, it says bank account or credit card. Which way do you want to go? And then you can check savings, et cetera. So anyhow, I put that in there, and I tithe through it last or 2 weeks ago, and then I immediately got an email confirmation saying, hey, you did it. It went through. Also, you can sign up to this site, you know, just register. And when you register, then you can go in anytime you want, and you can see everything that you gave when you gave it. So you have your own record, which is really cool. So the other thing really nice about this system being tied into, and you can put that down, and we're done now, just so you know it's there on our website. The other nice thing about this is if you go through this system, it automatically populates into our accountant's books. He doesn't even, no one has to touch it. So it removes human error, just goes in there, and it shows every time that you've given and how much you've given, et cetera. So at the end of the year, when we send a report, you would have that in there. So just so you know, that's available. There were several people asking for this, so I went ahead and pursued it to get, you know, find a way to do it, and we got it. So, yeah, so it's there. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start the message. I want to make sure we're recording. Has the button been pushed? Okay, good. I asked that because 2 weeks ago, the message did not get recorded. We had a technical, the last time that I preached, the message did not get recorded. We had technical difficulty because the button wasn't technically pushed. So as a result, I am going to do a review because I'd like to have that message recorded, but it's going to be a rather quick review. So just know that, first of all, Peter already wrote a sermon summary on it. So we already have a written summary, which is awesome. But I'd like to have it on the recording for those who just want to be able to listen to it going down the road, et cetera. It's going to be there. So I'm going to move rather quickly through the first part and then slow down on the part that's new. All right? So we're talking about tithing. We're actually in a series on biblical finances. And I spent the first, I think it was 5 weeks, talking about the principles of finances according to the Bible. Didn't say a word about tithing or giving, but just the principles of money, really. How does God view money, And therefore, how should we, his children, view money? It is very important that we get the same mind as God has on it. Jesus only mentions two people that you can serve. Who are they? God and mammon. And he said, you will serve one or the other. You cannot serve both. You will, the implication is you will serve one or the other. You will either hate one and love the other, or be loyal to one and despise the other. Period. That's what he said will be the case. When you look at the origin of the word mammon, it's much deeper and broader than just money. The origin of that word is really a god, a demon god, using money to grab your soul. It is the name of gods in pagan religions where they worshiped him because they wanted this god to prosper them. And Jesus personifies it by saying that you can, and many people will, serve this thing called mammon. He personifies it. He's referring really more to the spirit of it than money itself. Money really does have a spirit attached to it. We need to know that. We cannot be ignorant of this reality. And therefore, God gives us principles in his word on how to view money, how to deal with money, so that it purifies our involvement with it, so that we are controlling it and not the other way around. I've said it this way many times. It's just a real simple way of saying it. Just if you want to know the general concept of God's heart towards money. And when I say money, you can call it wealth, possessions, provision, whatever you want to call it. But you understand the materialism of this world. This is the way to understand it in just like one sentence. God is not opposed to you possessing things at any level. Any level, he is not opposed to you or I possessing things. He is opposed to the things possessing us. That's it. That's the whole issue in a nutshell. Now, that can be broken down. There's a lot more to it, like how do we handle it if we have a lot of it? God has an opinion on this. He has desires for us with it. Namely, that we would not keep it all to ourselves, that we would be a vessel of his benevolence, his goodness in the earth, that we would be a true reflection of him here on the earth, that we would be like him, which means we will be hilarious givers, abundant in giving, loving giving, not covetous, not greedy. Now, don't get religious about it when you think like, I shouldn't want that car. I shouldn't want that new bicycle. I shouldn't want that because that's greedy. That's not necessarily greedy. You have to look at your own heart and determine if it's greedy. There's nothing wrong with wanting things. God put things on the earth, and he put desires in us to have things. I mean, it's all part of God's design. The issue isn't the thing or you having the thing. The issue does the thing have you? One way to find that out is if God spoke to your heart and said, give it away, how would you respond? That's a litmus test to find out. If you say, well, I don't know. What side of that am I on? Does it have me or do I have it? That's one way to find out. Ask yourself, what if the Lord spoke to me right now? And not an audible, booming voice, just a still, quiet witness, fairly strong, so that you know it's the Lord. And he says, give that to Sam. Give that to Bob. Give that to this ministry. how would you respond? And it's not even, don't be so critical on yourself. You go, ooh, I'd have a little bit of a hesitation. That's okay. Where would you end up? If it took you a few seconds to go, okay, that's a little rough. Wasn't really planning on giving that away. But Lord, yes, Lord, if that's you, absolutely, I'm in. If it takes you a little bit to get there, that's great. That's wonderful. Ideally, it'd be wonderful if we get to the place where it's just instant, no problem. But, you know, I mean, give yourself a break. We're in a process. We're all in a process. The problem is if you say, I can't do that, not doing that. I worked hard for that. That's a problem, right? So that's God's mindset on money. That's what we spent 5 weeks doing. Now I'm getting more into specifics and the foundation. What I talked about there is the earth foundation that supports the foundation for your house. Now I'm talking about building your financial house. So the foundation of this house, sitting on good soil, which is your attitude towards money, the foundation of the house sitting on that good soil is what? The tithe. In building your financial house, according to the Word of God, the foundation to your financial house is the tithe. Now, the biggest, by far, argument against the tithe is that it is of the law. And we are under grace, we're not under the law, therefore, we're no longer required to tithe. If you get on the internet and type in tithing, you'll see things like tithing, the biggest scam in the church, and all these kinds of really radical statements, you know, tithing, the deception of Christianity, and all this stuff, you know. Well, I went there and I read article after article after article because I look for the arguments to fine-tune myself to the scriptures to see if there's anything in there that I'm missing. Some, because oftentimes when I read, even if it's kind of just craziness, oftentimes I'll find some, I go, oh, you know what, they've got a point there. I need to consider that point, you know, and think about that. And I'll go to the scriptures and look at that. Or they'll bring up a point that I realize I need to clarify that point. I don't usually clarify that point. So I get good stuff out of these articles oftentimes that I'll read that are completely opposed to, you know, I read articles about grace, you know, all the time about, you know, the hyper-grace message and all. I like to read and see what they have to say to make sure I'm doing a good job of explaining it, make sure I understand it correctly. You know, I let them hone me. I let it work in me and make sure I'm covering all this. So anyhow, I read all these articles. I would venture to say 98%. I mean, it's virtually every single article I read. There was one or two kind of weird ones, but there was virtually every one I read, the same argument was made, and that is, tithing is from the law. We are under grace, exactly. We are under grace, and therefore, and that's their whole basis for it, and therefore, anyone who's telling you to do it now, it's legalism. They're putting legalism on you. It's just preachers using it to bring money into the church, et cetera, et cetera. So I spent the first week on the tithing message to show you clearly from Scripture, tithing is in fact not from the law. The law came into effect 2,500 years after Adam and Eve, and I showed you three clear examples of people tithing. 2,500 years. I don't remember what the other one was. I think it was 1,400 years and like 600 years before the law ever existed. So if you were listening, you now know tithing did not even come from the law. The law was simply the period of time in which much of what God had said to man was recorded. So it's a beautiful thing because we get to see in writing exactly what it's all about. Now, there were other things that were under the law, that were only under the law, only for the time of the law that we are not under, such as sacrificing animals, etc. That was a type and shadow of Christ, the Lamb of God, who came and took away the sins of the world, did not cover them, so we don't need to sacrifice lambs anymore, etc. The tithe is not that. It's not the same scenario. It's an entirely different thing. It's a principle of God. It's from the beginning. So what is the tithe exactly? We looked at that. What? So this whole teaching is the what, whose, where, when, how, and why. So the what of the tithe, the word is maaser. The root word is aser. That root word aser is 10. It means 10. Maaser means tenth. They add the ma before it. It's like we would add to the word 10, we add th on the end, and it becomes tenth. What's the root word of tenth? 10. The root word of maaser is aser, 10. It's the exact same thing. So tithe, maaser, means tenth. Doesn't mean eighth, doesn't mean 14th, or any other number. It's tenth, that's what it means. So when people say, well, I tithe, you know, I give a little bit here, I give a little bit there, I give 5% sometimes, I get, you know, I've heard people tell me it's different percentages, because, you know, we're not under the law. They're missing the whole point right there. The very basics of it is that the word tithe means tenth. God established that part. So that's the what of it. And then I gave you several scriptures on that to show that. Leviticus 27:32, I'll just tell you, don't worry about. Again, this is just review. Leviticus 27:32 says, and concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, of whatever passes under the rod, that was the way they would pass them through a narrow gate under a rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. The tenth one. Every tenth one, it's the tenth. Jacob said to the Lord in Genesis 28:22, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. And I'll just leave it there. Let me move on to the whose. Whose is it? Whose is the tithe? This is really important. This is really good that we get this because it helps lock it into your heart like, wow, this is really a holy thing. Whose is it? Leviticus 27:30 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. That line right there should be very loud to us. It is holy to the Lord. I love that. I hope that brings joy to your heart. It brings joy to mine that it's a precious thing that he calls holy. That means I have the ability, the opportunity, the privilege to bring something to the Lord that he calls holy. That's awesome. To be able to walk into the throne room of God and bring something to him that he didn't say is scrap, but I'll take it. He says, that's holy to me. And I get to bring something to him that is holy. I love that. I also want you to notice that it says that all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Notice it does not say it will be the Lord's when you bring it to him. It says it is the Lord's while it is in your possession. It is the Lord's. Back to that verse when it said, you know, let all the sheep pass through under the rod, and when it passes through under the rod, the tenth one is holy to the Lord. Notice that's while it's still in your possession. It's the Lord's, he says. Malachi chapter 3, the language of Malachi further clarifies this point, that it is the Lord's, for it says, will a man rob God? And you say, in what way have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. Therefore, bring the tithe to the storehouse. Will a man rob God? How can you steal that which is your own? Not sure of that? Do I need to clarify that? A couple of faces are saying, what? How can you steal that which is your own? Will a man rob God? Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't rob him of something that is your own, which means what? It's his. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's his. That's why he says, will a man rob God? You say, well, Lord, how have we robbed you? He says, in tithes. What's he saying? The tithe is mine. So you aren't really giving. You're not giving in the sense of an offering like you do an offering. You don't give the tithe to the Lord. You bring the tithe to the Lord because it's his. So whose is it? It's the Lord's. What is it? It's a tenth. Where? Where do we tithe? That's exactly right. Let's look at a couple of verses on that. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5 and 6. It says this, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all the tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithe. Let's move on to another verse. I'm trying to keep this moving so I can get to the part I want to get to. And if we don't get there, it's all right. This is important. I want to get this available to you and recorded. You can listen to it over and over. I listen to my own messages, man. They're good. No, I'm just joking. I do listen to them, but I'm joking about the good part. Was that a good word? All right, thank you. Maybe I need to go back and listen to my own teaching on humility and right. No, I really was joking. Okay. Thank you. I'm learning from you, Joe. Having you up here now for several months doing the announcements has really been helpful. I've been watching, listening, learning. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 24 and 25. Deuteronomy 14. Verse 24 and 25 says this. We're talking about where do we tithe. But if the journey is too long for you so that you are not able to carry the tithe, notice what he's talking about, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, because you understand the tithe to most of those people were heaves of wheat or animals, you know, the crops. And if the temple was really far away, it could be very cumbersome to try and take the tithe to the temple. So he's saying, if the journey is too long for you so that you're not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far for you, when the Lord your God has blessed you with all the possessions that you have, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. So again, it just says, go to the place where the Lord your God chooses. Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 3 says it this way, and it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, you shall possess it, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, that's the language of the tithe, which you shall bring from your land for the Lord your God, that the Lord your God has given you, and put it in a basket. Go to the place where the Lord your God chooses. That word chooses is bakar in the Greek. It means select. The Lord selects the place. Now, he makes it more clear in this verse exactly what he means by this place that he's choosing. To make his name abide, that word in the Hebrew is shakan. It means to reside permanently, to stay, to dwell. Where he's choosing, he selects to make his name dwell, abide to you. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, and you go on and do your tithe. Where is the priest? Where was the priest when you wanted to go see the priest? He was in the temple. That's where he was. That's where the Lord chose to make his name abide to the people. They would go to the temple and hear the word of the Lord. That's what he's talking about. And then he says, where the priest is. Here's another verse I'd like to end it with this on the where. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10 through 14. And it says this, but when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God has given you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about so that you dwell in safety, then Then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, same language over and over. There, it says, you shall bring all that I command you. Why am I emphasizing this? You hear a lot of people say that the tithe belongs to the local church, and then there's a lot of people say that that's not true. You can put it wherever you want. Listen, you can really do what you want, obviously, with this. This is why I believe it's clear where the tithe goes. He says it over and over and over, where the tithe goes. It's not something man made up. The Lord is declaring where it goes. So it says here, you shall go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices. Where do you bring burnt offerings and sacrifices? To the temple. Always, always, always. You bring it to the temple. And he says, your tithes. Verse 13, he says, take heed to yourselves that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses. He even specifically gives a warning there, and he says, take heed to yourself that you just don't go and take it wherever you want to take it. I gave an example the last time I was teaching. I gave Brian, if you remember this, $100, and I said, Brian, now so start off, whose money is it? It's mine. I gave it to Brian, and I said, Brian, I would like you to take that to the Kaufmans, of which they were very pleased to hear. And then he started that way, but then he had a change of mind, and he considered the Rollins and the blessing that they've been to this church and everything. So he turned, and he went, and he gave it to them. He said, you guys have been such a blessing to this church. I just want to bless you guys. He was being good to them, but was he being good to me? Did he obey me? Whose money was it? This is why God says, you've robbed me. When you do whatever you want to do with it, because it's mine, and I've told you where it goes. So what about giving to people who've done a beautiful thing? What about great ministries that are out there? What about neighbors that can't pay their rent? What about the poor that need to be fed? Should we not give to them? The Bible clearly says we should do that, but the Bible calls that offerings. It's a free will offering. We can do what we want with it, when we want, and where we want. That is not true of the tithe. The tithe is the Lord's. It's his. It's holy to him. And we are to do what he says to do with it. Period. Specific. All right, so that is the where. Now let's talk about the why. This is the new part. Why do we tithe? I hope and think that this will be helpful for you so that when you are tithing, if you're struggling with it at all, hopefully this kind of helps begin to develop more of a foundation in your mind and your heart as to why exactly am I doing this? I mean, some things may be obvious. Maybe some of these things are not so obvious. So I'm just going to mention seven of them. This is by no means an exhaustive list. These are seven that I've learned from the Lord in my 31 years of tithing. And it wasn't all at once. I learned them over time. And they're all beautiful, every single one of them beautiful. There is no particular order to this, although I'm ending it with what I think is the most important reason. But the rest, there is no particular order. So number one, why do we tithe? It is an act of obedience. We have a Lord, a God, who we declare to be the Lord of our life. And he says, to tithe. And when we tithe, it is first and foremost an act of obedience. It demonstrates and releases our faith in God specifically as our provider. That's what I mean when I'm saying an act of obedience. It's an act of obedience in that we do what he says, and in the very act of this obedience, we are declaring to him, we are demonstrating to him, and we are releasing our faith in him as our provider. We're saying, I believe in this. I believe in what you've said about your word concerning the tithe. Here is my proof of that. Faith without works is dead. Just saying it is not faith. All right, number two. Why do we tithe? Number two, it is the practical plan of God for his church. It's a practical, or the practical plan of God for his church. He says in Malachi chapter 3, that there may be food in my house. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. You may say, I don't really like the way this house handles the finances. I don't like the way this church handles the finances, so I'm going to go somewhere else with it. Is that our decision to make? It's not given to us. God says, do with the tithe that's mine. Do with it what I tell you to do with it. I'm not asking you to decide for me with all your great rationale why you don't think you should. It says, do it, that there may be food in my house. If that house is not handling the finances well, who has to answer to God for that? The house. Not you or not me. I've never thought twice about that. I hear it all the time about people not agreeing with how, you know, I don't think they handle their finances well. It's never even crossed my mind. I'm like, what's that have to do with me? If this is the church that I'm going to, I believe the Lord's asked me or called me to go to this. By the way, you should not be in a church unless you believe the Lord's called you to go to that church. And what else? You should not. Exactly. You do not leave until the Lord tells you to leave. I learned that one. When I was up and out of there, I had every right to leave a church, man. I was like seriously dishonored by this church. And I just said, I'm out of here, in my heart. Didn't say it out of my mouth. I said it, I mean, clear as day. Made the decision. You know how you make a decision. I'm out of here. But it's to yourself. I said, I'm out of here. Right there, the Lord spoke to me and said, you haven't even asked me. Which, one of the beauties of that experience I had was like, wow, he literally knows my thoughts. I didn't say a word. I made the decision definitively. I made the decision right there. I said, I'm out of here. You haven't even asked me. The Lord spoke to me just as clear as day. And I was like, ooh. Hadn't even thought about that I need to ask you. But that's how I learned that from the Lord. And that's been a settled issue for me ever since. I ask the Lord where I go. And if I don't like what's going on, I have a couple options. I can either pray about it or I can shut up. Those are my options. And I have to stay in a sweet spirit all the time. Listen, if someone has left a church that you're in and they start talking to you, bad-mouthing you about someone that's in that church, you need to cut that off ASAP. That is the devil trying to get in. The devil's using them whether they know it or not. They can be the sweetest person on the planet. That's irrelevant. Every single one of us have been used by the devil in that way. Every single one of us. What we have to do is grow. As we grow in maturity, we are used less and less by him in that way. We get control of our tongue. But if someone is talking to you about someone else in your church, because they've left, now they're upset, right? Now they're talking to you. They took the wrong spirit about it, which is why they left in the first place. Now they want to pass that spirit on to you. That is the enemy working. You need to immediately, when they start to go there, you need to stop and say, hey. What? Listen, we cannot have this conversation. This is not of God. Yeah, but that person, hey, listen, it doesn't matter. We're not having this conversation. The word of God is clear. I did a three-week teaching on gossip? I'm not sidetracking, man. This is part of this message. This is good. It's really important that you and I obey the Lord. We go to where we're supposed to, where he tells us to go. We leave when he says to leave and not before then. And we keep a good attitude the whole time we're there. So it is a practical plan of God. It brings the finances in the church so the church can do and function what it's supposed to do and obey God. Number three, why do we tithe? Number three is for the blessings over our finances. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, again, says, tithe. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Why? That there may be food in my house. And prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you blessing. Now, that's what it actually says in the Hebrew. It does not say, And I will pour out blessings such that there will not be room enough to receive it. None of those words exist in the original text. It simply says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse and maybe food in my house and prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you blessing. And that not enough. That's what's actually in the Hebrew. And that not enough. Well, what's the rest then? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, that there may not be food in your, that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. So that's getting ahead. That's the next one. So number three, the blessings. That's why we tithe, to bring the blessings. Right there it says, I will open to you the windows of heaven. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says this, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the what? First fruits, that's the tithe of all your increase. So, here's the result, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Abundance, that's blessing. Number four, why do we tithe? Protection, it brings protection over your finances. That's what I just said, bring all the tithe in the storehouse and there may be food in my house. Prove me now on the list, says the Lord of hosts. I will now open to you the windows of heaven, pour out for you blessings. That not enough. What else is he going to do? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Listen, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Are you guys hearing something? What does that tell you? Exactly. That he would want to, that he's out there actually doing it, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Do not be deceived. He is actively involved in destroying people's financial well-being. When I was just 1 year old in the Lord, I was tithing early in my first couple months, and then I got mad at the Lord because of a certain event, and I made a declaration to the Lord. I will not tell anybody about Jesus. I'm not going to read your word, and I'm not going to tithe until you tell me what the heck is going on. Wasn't that wise? I put my foot down, and I showed him. 6 months later, and the Lord did not do this. I did this to myself. I opened the doors wide open to the devil. 6 months later, I had a nervous breakdown, and I was $70,000 in debt. That did not happen because the Lord was trying to teach me anything. That is unscriptural. Amen. I slung the door wide open to the devil. He said, ooh, I like that agreement. 6 months later, after I had a nervous breakdown, 2 days in the bed, I was able to have nothing, but I had gross motor movement only. I slid off my bed onto my knees and cried out to God, and I said, oh, God, I am so sorry for my poor attitude for the last 6 months. I grew up a little bit in that 6 months, just a little, just enough maturity to recognize my complete ignorance and just bad attitude. And I asked God's forgiveness and I said, God, forgive me for my bad attitude. I don't care if you don't explain anything to me. I got radically saved, man. And I ended up going down to Florida and I got in this Bible college and I got totally turned on to the Lord. I studied the Bible like crazy. I came home here to Columbus to get my whole family saved, and everybody rejected me. My entire family rejected me. Half of them right here in this room, so you know I'm not lying. And they were like, you are out to lunch. And they heard I was speaking in tongues. And they're all in this Bible study with this lady who told them that's of the devil. So they're like, you're in a cult. You're of the devil. Get out of my face. And everybody rejected me. And my best friend I was in business with, man, he told me, if you ever talk to me about Jesus one more time, I am done with you. And I said, his name was Tom. I said, Tom, I've got to tell you about Jesus. He said, that's it. And he walked out of my life. He's never come back into my life. We were best of friends. I mean, I lost my, and so my heart, man, I was just broken. My mom rejected me, my sisters, my brothers, everybody rejected me. So that's why I was so mad at God. And I was like, where are you? I'm trying to do your business, and you're doing nothing to help me. I mean, you know, I just, man, I was messed up. I was expecting God to just show up, you know, but their response, by the way, when you talk to people about Jesus, their response is not your and my responsibility. Our responsibility is to share the gospel in love. I guarantee you, though I'm sure I thought I was in love, maybe I was operating in love, but I was not operating in wisdom. I had a lot of knowledge and like zero wisdom. So I'm sure most of it was on me. My mom told me she was painting a ceiling one time, and I came in, and I started telling her about Jesus. And she's like, I don't need a message about Jesus right now. What I need is for you to get off your duff, put a roller in your hand, and help your mom paint this ceiling. She didn't say any of that. That's just what she was thinking. I'm sitting there telling her about Jesus while she's painting. She's like, and she said it took everything in her to not take that roller and just paint me a good one. So they were all, you know, I was definitely not operating in wisdom. So anyhow, completely lost my train of thought. What was I? Okay, thank you very much. Oh yeah, so I was $70,000 in debt and spinning deeper. So here I am. I cried out to the Lord. I said, God, forgive me and my bad attitude. I don't care if you never explain anything to me about why it didn't seem like you were there to help me with my family and all that. I don't care. All I know is I was full of joy 6 months ago. Now I'm miserable. I just want you. I just want our relationship back to where it was. And I felt this cool breeze come down over my body, literally. I felt it just blowing on my body, and I was instantaneously completely healed physically. You don't get healed of a nervous breakdown in 1 second. It was supernatural. It was incredible, and I was full of joy again. And after I was rejoicing there for a little while, I then remembered my financial situation. And I said to the Lord, oh, God, here's what I said. I know you don't care about money. I mean, I was just so happy to just be back with him, but I also had this, wow, this radical pressure on me right now, which is why I had the nervous breakdown. I said, God, I know you don't care about money, but if you'll just help me right now to get out of this hole, just all I was asking for is just get me to zero. I don't even need money. I just want to be out of debt, man. Just get me to zero. I said, God, if you'll just help me, I would so appreciate it. Tithe. I wasn't any more expecting that than anything. I'd forgotten all about the tithe, man. I just wasn't even, that's not where my head was. He said one word, tithe. And he said it really clearly. I heard it, and then I've told you the testimony. Within 20 minutes, I got a confirmation from my brother. About an hour later, a confirmation from another friend, none of them knowing what the Lord had said to me, obviously. And then later, I think it was later that day or the next day, another confirmation. The Lord made it very clear. And so I committed to him that day for the rest of my life that I will tithe. And I was broke. I didn't have any money, so I didn't have anything to give. I just said, done. It's yours. I said, every dollar I make for the rest of my life, the first dime is yours. I mean, I said it and I meant it. The next 2 weeks, my business produced more business than it had ever produced in any two-month combination combined. I mean, it just exploded. It was just crazy, off the charts what it did, and it just kept going. 11 months later, I was completely, not only out of debt, I had all kinds of money in the bank, and I went on a national syndicated program. They wanted my testimony. What happened to you? I was the second highest volume producer in the United States, selling more cameras than anybody else. I mean, I exploded. It was supernatural. My point there was, when I made that decision to tithe to the Lord, It brought a hedge of protection around my business, and it stopped the devil dead in his tracks from hurting me. And then the Lord's blessing just started pouring into my life. And so that's number four. Now, you may say to yourself, I just want to put this out there real quick for any of you who are thinking this. This idea of I need to tithe before he'll bring protection, that sounds like legalism. Where's the you know, what's the issue there? I mean, you got to pay God to protect you. That is not the way to see this, because that's not what it is at all. Listen, this is a covenant relationship with God. Don't ever forget that. It is a covenant based in faith. You and I receive nothing from the Lord apart from faith, including what? Your salvation. To say, why doesn't he just do it? Because he loves me. Is the same, it's exactly the same as saying, why doesn't he just save me without my believing in him? Without my asking Jesus to come into my life? Why doesn't God just baptize me in the Holy Spirit, whether I ask for it or not? Why doesn't he just do it? Because it's a good thing. Salvation's a good thing. Why doesn't he just save me? Why doesn't he baptize me in the Holy Spirit? Why doesn't God just bestow benevolence? Why doesn't he just bestow finances on me, whether I give or not? Why doesn't God just let it go, whether I forgive people or not? And on it goes. Everything that we get from the Lord, we get by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, which vividly describes the relationship we have with God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. In fact, I want you to read with me Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read six verses straight and let you hear the relationship we have with our Father. This is God. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. How were the worlds framed? By faith. It's not just the word of God. It's faith. You can release words without faith and they do nothing. Now, you can't really separate faith and God's word, because every one of his words are filled with faith. But understand, it's the faith that is the power inside of the word. The word is the carrier. Inside of it is faith that causes the miracles. It is the power in the word. The word is a vessel. Inside of it, if there is faith, it will produce what that word says. If there's no faith, it will produce nothing. So it's not really the word, it's the faith in the word. But all of God's words are filled with faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which are visible. Listen to this. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death. God didn't just come and take Enoch. It was by faith that Enoch was taken by God, that blessing came into his life and was not found, because God had translated him. For before this, his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, then God explains how he pleased him in the very next verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. It does not say it is difficult to please God. It does not say it is extremely difficult to please God. It says it is impossible to please God without it. Why? Because this is a relationship of faith between God and... Listen, this is the kingdom of God. This is heaven. Get on board. We don't make up our own rules or our own understanding of how heaven works. This is how heaven works. Faith is the currency of heaven. You can come into the United States and you can go home and you can draw up your own little dollar bills or whatever you want to do, print them off of your printer and try and use them, but they will produce nothing. You have to use the actual currency of this country if you want to buy and sell. In heaven, you must use its currency, and its currency is faith. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. James chapter 1 tells us, as it relates to the tithe and why this comes by our giving the tithe, it says, but be doers of the word, James chapter 1, verse 22, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. The kingdom of God is an active participation with God. It's not passive. Do not be a hearer only, deceiving yourself. It's the doer, James says, two verses down, that will be the one who gets blessed. God says, my son, my daughter, I want you to tithe as an act of your obedience to me over finances. He's there, but he's saying over finances in particular. Do you trust me? Do you believe in me? Or will you bow to the spirit of mammon? No, Lord, it's to you I bow. We show that by giving the tithe. It's a tenth of our income. That's a heavy commitment to make. It's a decision you have to make by faith. It's Peter stepping out of the boat onto the water. He's not just saying, I believe. Jesus said, if you believe, come. And he steps out of the boat and he demonstrated his faith. Only when he began to doubt, he sunk, and Jesus said, why did you doubt? Believe in me. God's calling us to believe in him. And when we act in faith and we say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord. Then the Spirit of God is released and causes a new birth on the inside of you. Not before. Not one second before. When you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you say, Father, yes, then the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes. When you give, because you give by faith, because his word says to do so, then it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. It does not say it'll come and then give. It says give and it shall be given unto you. Tithe and the protection will come. Tithe and the blessing will come. This is the word of the Lord. It's a covenant relationship. It's beautiful. It's awesome. Do not make the mistake of putting it into the category of that's legalism. No, you're missing the whole relationship that we have with our Father. It's an awesome relationship of faith. I'm way out of time, so let me finish the last ones quickly. Number five, why do we tithe? To deliver us from the spirit of mammon. Praise the Lord, I've already said a lot about that, so I don't need to go on. To deliver us from the spirit of mammon. That one got sewn in there earlier, but it is number five. Number six, why do we tithe? To develop and maintain a spirit of gratitude. Man, I wish I had more time to develop this one, to unpack this one. It develops and maintains a spirit of gratitude. How does that happen? By rehearsing it. Now, you're going to learn this. I'll have time to expand on this on the next teaching, because in the next teaching, I'm going to go into how do you tithe? How exactly do you tithe? I know most people think, well, you just put it in the bucket, right? Pluck it in the bucket. That's tithing. No, that's actually not tithing. I will teach what the word says on how to tithe. Now, that's where you start. It's good. I didn't know when the Lord said, you know, tithe. I said, okay, Lord, I'll tithe. Then remember this one part? My business just took off. I hadn't given a dollar. Like 2 weeks later, I said to the Lord, Lord, I feel kind of guilty. I haven't even given you any money yet. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, when you committed the tithe to me, you became a tither. That moment he was saying, no, remember when you said 2 weeks ago you would tithe? You meant it. I knew you meant it. I'm God, remember? Right then, you were a tither. God is not a man that he needs to see it. He saw my heart and he said, that's a tither. Now I can bless him. That's awesome. So it is when you tithe and you bring it to the Lord And he teaches, I'm going to talk about how to tithe. The constant bringing it to the Lord, the way that he says to do it, will, it causes you to rehearse the blessings of the Lord in your life. That keeps you in a spirit of gratitude for all the blessings that you have. It's powerful. Anyhow, number seven, the last one, why do we tithe? By the way, that, I'll expound on that later. Number seven, the last one, why do we tithe? It is an act of worship. It is how, it's one of many ways, but it is a way to worship God. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 10 specifically talks about this. Deuteronomy 26 is the most exhaustive chapter in all of the Bible about tithing. It tells you all about the tithe. And in verse 10 it says, when you bring the tithe to the Lord, it says, and you shall, it's saying with the tithe, you have the tithe with you, and with it you shall worship the Lord. You worship him with the tithe. Amen? So there is the what, whose, where, and why. Next week, the next time I teach, which will be in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about the when and how. When do you tithe? And how do you tithe? And then that will be the wrap-up, I believe, on tithing. All right. Praise the Lord. That's a wrap. Thank you. You know, I know I'm taking a while on the tithe, but it is so important to your entire financial well-being. It's good to really understand the tithe. Amen. Let's pray for God's sealing on this word. Father, we lift up this word to you right now, and we ask by your Spirit you would seal this word. Any corrections that need to be made in our heart, Lord, we pray you would prepare our hearts to just let that seed drop deep into our heart and let it change us. Let your word change us. We're not here, Lord, to change you or your word. We're here to let your word change us. Father, we pray that word would be sealed to our heart and that it would do the work that it was sent to do. And it will produce in our lives abundant return, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray your blessing on everyone here and everyone at the sound of my voice right now, Lord, that your hand of blessing and however way you desire to do would be upon them now, Father, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to bless them in a specific way, even this week, Father, now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Hey, listen, I just want to say this one thing about this whole teaching. If in any way it's coming off as kind of like law and legalism, either I'm doing a poor job of presenting it or you have a filter that's still religious and it's just taking it that way. One of us is off or both of us. Just please know. There's no law, legalism, anything to it. This is the most beautiful thing. It's a beautiful protection and a blessing from the Lord for one purpose. He wants to bless you. That's what it's about. We are in a world that's fallen. There's a devil in it. And the Lord has set up the tithe to bless us and to protect us in a fallen world. Our heart wants to go towards mammon, to be snatched by mammon. The Lord has set up the tithe. When I talk about the how, there's some real powerful stuff in there, and it's just, I think you're going to be blessed by it. There's just, it's a beautiful thing. It's a good thing. If you're not getting that, it's either me or you, but it doesn't change the fact that it is a good thing. That's good. That's really good. If anyone here has anything in their heart that you are struggling in this area and you would like prayer, you know, so we can agree with you that, you know, that the Lord would just do a work and speak to your heart in this area, please come up here. We will be here to pray for you. And if you have prayer needs for anything else, by all means, just come up here. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a beautiful, sunny 62-degree day because it's one of the last ones of the year.